Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite theologians from the 20th century, which seems like longer ago as we continue to move through time, but from about the late 1900s, was a man, a priest by the name of Father John Romanides. He was a Greek, born here in America, I believe, or at least he moved here early in his life, if not born here. He went, I believe, to both Yale and Harvard. At least I know he went to Yale, very well educated, and eventually moved back to Greece and taught there at their top theological seminary. But one of the best sayings that I've ever heard he says that authentic Christianity is the cure to the sickness of religion. Authentic Christianity is the cure to the sickness of religion. Not something you think you would hear very much from someone who appears to be a religious man, an Orthodox priest, someone who dedicated his life to the service of the church, but I believe he was exactly right. And I believe that if we read the Gospels and we understand the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of St. Paul, who's responsible for the vast majority of the New Testament, we can understand that true Christianity is in fact the cure to the sickness of religion. What exactly does that mean? Well, it relates to what we heard today from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and I'll explain as we go along. But St. Paul says that glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. For everyone who does good. And good meaning, of course, as he'll explain, who does the law of God. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, or a better translation would be Gentile. It means first for the Jew, for the Gentile being anyone else. For God shows no partiality. In other words, it doesn't matter to God where we were born. It doesn't matter to God what language we speak, etc. All that matters is what Paul says next. Those who have sinned without the law will perish without the law. All those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. In other words, what's important is that we actually do the law, whether we even know we're doing it or not. And Paul says, then when these Gentiles who have not the law do by nature what the law requires, they're a law to themselves. Now, I know the people who aren't familiar with the Bible and aren't familiar with the times in which St. Paul was writing, perhaps this is confusing, so let me try to simplify it and use an analogy the best way that I can. If you are out here driving on Kellogg, and someone tells you that the speed limit is 60 miles per hour, and you drive 60 miles per hour, then you have no problem with the police officers who set their speed trap out here. You're not going to be pulled over. They just let you go. You are following the law. Likewise, if you're new in town and somehow you're not paying attention to the speed limit signs all over Kellogg, so just bear with me in this example. You don't see the signs, you've been distracted, whatever. And you're going 60 miles per hour, and you don't know whether that seems reasonable. You pass by the police officers that have their speed trap set up, no problem. You're obeying the law. They're not stopping you and asking you, do you know what the speed limit is? They're simply observing whether or not you observe the speed limit. Now, on the other hand, if you're coming down Kellogg and you don't know what the speed limit is, and you're going 75 miles an hour and you feel that it's safe, well, the police aren't going to stop and ask you. Maybe, sometimes they do. They like to be smart with you. But it's a rhetorical question. Do you know the speed limit? Don't ask me how I know they asked that, okay? Do you know the speed limit? And, you know, your best choice is to play dumb and hope that they're merciful with you. My wife tried that. She's working today, so I'll pick on her while she's not here. And the police said, well, man, it doesn't matter whether you knew or not. You're going over the speed limit. And they write you a ticket. It's very simple. It's very simple. Authentic Christianity is the cure to the sickness of religion. Authentic Christianity is very simple. You either do God's will or you don't do God's will. And that's what's important on the day of judgment. But unfortunately, we often turn authentic Christianity into a religion. And when we turn it into a religion, what we start doing is we add these complexities. And we start to miss the aim. And we start to imagine what God wants us to do. And so we start to become what we often call legalistic. And so Christianity, and authentic Christianity, has given us tools by which we might better learn how to do God's will, how we might better focus on doing God's will. But when we turn that into a religion, we start to idolize these tools. And we no longer view them as tools, but we view them as the end in and of itself, the end product. Not something that helps us make the end product, as a tool does, but we view that as an end in and of itself. For example, we start to view coming to church as what God wants us to do. No. That's not what God wants us to do. Now, He wants us to use it as a tool. He understands that if we come to church, that we will hear His law. We will hear His word, as you heard proclaimed by Father John and by Subdeacon Tom in the epistle reading and the gospel reading. He wants you to hear that. He wants you to worship Him and center your life around Him. But if you view that as your obligation, as a Christian, I've done good for my Sunday, I'm going to go home and go about my day, then you have turned authentic Christianity into religion. Because you come here to be educated, to have your life centered, to receive the body and blood of Christ, so that when you leave, you can do the will of God. You see, if you come here to church and you think that you've accomplished a lot, you're like the person who is on Kellogg who knows that the speed limit is 60 because you've been told. But you decide you're going to go 75 anyway because maybe the police won't be out there. Well, if you get pulled over, it's your own fault. You knew the law, and yet you disobeyed. If you come here and you hear God's word proclaimed, and you go out and you don't do it, you think, well, I heard it, it's good enough. No, that's not good enough. That's why at this church we offer things outside of just coming here to the Sunday Divine Liturgy. For example, this week we hosted in our parish four homeless families. Why? So that you have an opportunity here, a place where you're comfortable, to do the will of God. Because when you hear His scripture proclaimed again and again and again in this church, what is one of the things that you hear? Is that you are to take care of those who are in need. What we heard on Judgment Sunday, you heard the law, brothers and sisters. You heard the judgment from Matthew 25. If someone doesn't have a home, give them a home. That's what God is telling us. So brothers and sisters, as we are, those of us who are Orthodox, are in this fasting season of the apostles Peter and Paul as we prepare for their feast, as we try to increase our church attendance, our prayer life, our fasting, our almsgiving, let's not be mistaken. These things are given to us as tools It's not good enough that you come to church. It's not good enough that you pray at home. It's not good enough that you give alms. It's not good enough that you fast. You have to actually meet God's people face to face. You have to reconcile people to our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to show them love. So let's not let any of these tools become an end in and of themselves, because if we do, we are part of the sickness of religion. And the only way to cure that sickness is through authentic Christianity, which is living out the words of Jesus, which is living out the teaching that we heard of St. Paul today. Putting into practice what we hear we are supposed to do with our neighbor and with our enemy when we leave this church. May God help us to put these things into practice, that we might be part of the cure of the sickness of religion. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.